the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Friends and enemies, welcome to another episode of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast, a special midweek rip with Christian Bitcoin Guide on Twitter. We'll be talking about the mission, I guess. Len, what do you think? That's probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah, he's bringing the good word of Bitcoin to everybody, as well as something else. So another good word. But this is great. I like this. This is going a little bit outside our wheelhouse, and I can't wait to talk to him.
Well, like I said to Reverend Wendy, I've strayed pretty far from God's life at this point. So we're going to hear what he has to say, and hopefully we can have a good conversation. I think that there's a lot of good collegial dialogue between Bitcoiners and religion in the last few years that I've seen. And so he's in the green room. I'll do the ad read here. Sponsored, Len, as always, by the mighty ShakePay. Who ended their holiday cashback rewards today, much to my chagrin, back to 2% if you have the Sats Back card, which is pretty dope. So you load up your ShakePay account with a CAD balance, spend off of that, and they give you 2% back in Satoshis. I think they're still doing ShakePaid, or are they not doing ShakePaid still? They are, I believe I saw today, which is great.
Are they? And, okay, that's I've been so busy.
It's extended.
Today.
Yeah, it's extended. I know, I'm saying right. It's extended. So we got that. And then on top of that, if you use our promo code to sign up, they'll just hand you $30 on your first $100 Bitcoin buy. So CBP, Charlie Beta Peter, or click the link in various places in this thread and other threads and all over the place. And if you haven't done it, what are you waiting for? Okay, we're bringing in Pastor Coin here.
I love the name.
In the running for best handle. Yeah, we've had a few really good handles over the year we've done this show. This is definitely in the running. Sir, how you doing? Welcome to the program.
Good. Can you see and hear me? What's going on here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. You know, with the ShakePaid thing, I'm seeing my brother got ShakePaid $1,000.
Wow.
And every time I get ShakePaid, it's like a bottle of water or dollar store pair of scissors purchase. And I mean, I can't complain. It's free money, but you know.
That's a sign. You got to keep using it. And
can maybe we say that? It's a sign? Can we say that?
You know what? You shall not covet. It's a test. That's what it is.
That's right. Okay, so Pastor, tell us a bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? What brings you here today? This is a bit of a, like Len mentioned in the intro, a bit outside our wheelhouse, but I am excited for this discussion all the same. So give us a bit of background on you and what you're up to.
Yeah, so I'm actually like a real pastor. Like I started the church in Windsor, Ontario. And before that, I was actually nobody believes me when I say this, but I have pictures to prove it and videos. I was actually a professional wrestler on the Ontario indie scene. I did that for a little bit. And then I decided that wasn't the most fruitful way to spend my life, to put it nicely. And then I shortly after became a Christian and then started the church, maybe 8 years after I think I became a Christian and then now I'm a Bitcoiner. Now I'm Pastor Coin, I guess. The Twitter handle I wanted was taken. So I did the Pastor Coin thing and I thought Bitcoiners might appreciate that. So I don't know. That's who I am pretty much.
So tell us how you got into Bitcoin.
Hold on. We have to inquire about this a little further here. So you know that really the handle you should have been seeking is like Righteous Coinstone or something with that backstory, right? So you know that in the Righteous Gemstones, the lead pastor at that church was in the show a wrestling heel of some kind before he found God. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen that show. It's outstanding. And so when you're rhyming the story off, I'm going, wait a minute, I've heard this before.
Man, send me a link to that.
I'm not aware of this. I will, yeah. That's dope, man. I love that.
No, but I was a heel too. in my pastor, career.
That's a heel. Come on.
I'm telling you, man. This is
I wasn't a pastor then. it's more fun to be the bad guy in the wrestling scene than the good guy.
Well, let us know how the heck you got into Bitcoin, because it's quite a path that you've led. Wrestler, pastor, now Bitcoiner.
Just pastor to Bitcoiner would have been great, but now you added wrestler in there. That's like an extra extra few stops. I got to know.
Yeah. Well, oh my goodness. Where do I start? So, I heard about Bitcoin back in like 2013, 2012 ish. And, right when I started the seminary, right, I heard about Bitcoin. It was one of those things where it was fill out this survey and get like 20 Bitcoin or whatever back in when you could do that. And I was like, what is this? And I looked into it a bit, and it was just too confusing, and I was busy with seminary. And I always lament now to folks. I say, I spent $30,000 on seminary to learn stuff I was learning for free anyways. What I should have did was invest $30,000 in Bitcoin. It'd be a lot more financially stable now if I did that. But anyways, it really started in 2017. My wife got pregnant with twins, and we moved to a bigger house. And I seen an ad in the newspaper for CoinSquare. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say that because you guys are sponsored by ShakePay.
No, go ahead.
Doesn't matter. Say whatever you want.
I seen it, and I was like, what the heck is this? I remember hearing about it. And I checked it out, and I seen all the other coins, and I seen Dogecoin. And I thought
that you can't say in the show, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I'm not kidding. That's
just... I seen the coin that shall not be named, and and I thought, well, that's kind of dumb. But as a joke, I had a company, a small business called Pooper Scoopers, where I picked up dog poop, and I thought, man, wouldn't it be funny if I invested some dog poop money in this dog thing? And so I did, and I forgot about it. And then, of course, it kind of went crazy in 2020. And I was like, oh, where's my CoinSquare password? So at that point, I was like, okay, I need to understand what this is. I didn't care about Dogecoin so much. I was like, whatever, it was a joke. I forgot about it. Who cares? But Bitcoin was going up like crazy too. And I thought, man, I need to know what this is. I need to learn this. There's something about this that is significant. I mean, I didn't get it. So I looked around, I asked my friends who were like Bitcoin, well, not Bitcoiners. They were kind of just trying to investing in all types of stupid stuff, but they were into crypto. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is this? No one could give me answers. So I had to go on my own. And then of course, as is the story for many Bitcoiners, I read the Bitcoin Standard, or I listened to the Bitcoin Standard rather on Audible. And there was, as I was listening to it, I was like, oh my gosh, man, like Bitcoin and Christianity are compatible. You know what I'm saying? Like the Christian worldview and the Bitcoin protocol, some would call it a philosophy, but I don't know if I would go that far. It matches. It makes sense. In the one part in the Bitcoin Standard, Saifedean was talking about. I say Saifedean like I know the guy. I don't know. he was talking about Nero and how Nero was doing coin clipping. And so he explained coin clipping and inflation. And some interpretations of the Bible say that Nero is actually the beast, 666. Represents the name of Nero. And so I was like, man, Nero is like a really evil, wicked guy, killed Christians, was like, he hated Christians, and he started inflating the money supply. So it all started to come together, and I was like, inflation is ungodly because we lived in a fiat system for so long. I didn't realize how ungodly the financial system we live in actually is. And so that's sort of how I got into Bitcoin. It started with, why is this thing so valuable? And it morphed into, this is a moral imperative that I have to, that I've seen it, I can't unsee it. And so now my Christian faith, I'm compelled by my Christian faith to be a Bitcoiner, because to not be a Bitcoiner, would be immoral. And I know that sounds crazy to some, maybe, but that's just where I'm at right now.
That's interesting. Sorry, Joey, it looks like you had a question.
I do. I have many questions, actually, but we'll go with one. So I this is like a weird, maybe it's not weird. You're making it seem like it's sort of a natural synergy, a natural relationship that exists between the Bitcoin ethos and Christianity. And you see this a lot in Bitcoin. And I'm not a man of God myself, but, you know, I can see the rationale for the connection that you're drawing between the two. So the question I have for you then, Pastor Coin, is, you know, what do you do when it comes to, you know, your congregation? You know, you speak to your congregation presumably on a weekly or biweekly basis, whatever the, you know, whatever the COVID regulations and whatnot allow, and maybe the church allows. What do you say to them about the sort of fiat system? And I'm asking because I think fiat, and you probably agree with this, I think fiat and the issues in fiat stretch beyond finance. And so whether or not I'm religious, I see the problems with this sort of fiat mindset, short-term thinking, no interest in, you know, building for the future, et cetera, et cetera. How do you pass that message on to your congregation? And if you do, how do you work Bitcoin into that conversation with them?
Unfortunately, sort of messed up time preference has seeped into a lot of Christian thinking. You know, without getting too theological, you see all the doom and gloom stuff. Oh, the rapture, and things are going to get so bad, and they're not going to get worse, and it has to be that way, and so forth. So this sort of thinking is sort of an ungodly time preference, where a lot of times Christians will not do what they ought to do because they're thinking, well, Jesus is coming back very soon, so what's the point? That has to be reversed, and Bitcoin does that to folks, even irreligious folks. They start to think of the future more. How can, and this is biblical stuff, man. Like, read the book of Proverbs. It's all over, a godly man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You know, so a godly man isn't even thinking about his children. He's thinking about his grandchildren and his great, how can I leave an inheritance to even people I will never meet, even my great-great-grandchildren? And so I've orange-pilled a few of the, people in my church, and it's just been through talking about the Bible and just bringing it up. So if I'm in a Bible study or if I'm preaching and it's appropriate, I'll bring it up.
It's always appropriate.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, if I'm talking about, like, fornication, I don't know how you bring Bitcoin into that, you know, or something. But, I don't know. Can you work that in? Maybe.
I'm sure you can.
But if it's appropriate, then, of course, I bring it in. And like you said, it's easy to work in because you can tie almost any immoral thing to the fact that, you know, the money's corrupted. And so that's sort of how I do it. Just when I can, I wear the swag, you know, I wear the Bitcoin swag.
That is a great sweatshirt. Hold that up again with the Bible verse underneath.
Well, yeah. God, explain it, because we'll just do this in audio too. So people,
has Kanye West seen that? Like, this guy really should be selling that kind of thing.
His shirt says, sorry, his hat says pleb. And the B is the Bitcoin B. So, what you have over there, I'm jealous. And where'd you get it, and how can I get it?
It's on my website. You can get it. It's on my website.
Excellent. We will be posting that link somewhere.
This gets people talking. Christians will be like, "What is that? What does hodl mean? I don't know how to pronounce it. I know a lot of people say hodl. I feel it just doesn't sound right. Hodl. I think hodl's right. But anyways, we're not going to get into that debate. But they're like, what do you mean, hodl hope? What are you talking about? And then it's so, you know, look, Christianity and hodling or hodling. I feel so wrong saying hodling. I'll just say because everyone else does. When you're and I'm getting made fun of by all types of people. Oh, because Bitcoin recently dipped, right? Oh, man, look at you should sell, you know, you're crazy and all this type of stuff. Hebrews 10:23, which is the scripture I have on here, talks about holding on to your confession of hope in Christ. holding on to hope in difficult times is hard. That's why the Bible tells us that you got to do it. You got to just hold on to your confession, hold on to your hope. Don't give it up. People are going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to call you names. You need to hold all your hope. It's the same with Bitcoin. People are going to make fun of you. Like, holding on to hope is easy when things are good. It's when things get rough that it becomes a challenge. And it's really a virtue. It's a thing about conviction. You believe the thing, you hold the thing. You don't, you don't. And so you can see how easily I could preach the gospel with the message of HODL. Because it's the same principle.
Do you think that Bitcoin itself, and before I ask this, you're probably the most qualified person that ever came on the show that I could ask. Do you think Bitcoin itself is a pseudo religion? Because the people in it, they're almost like undying faith towards it, and they believe in it to the nth degree. So there's some similarities between the people that are Bitcoiners and people that are part of just about any organized religion. So do you think that there is some similarities between the two that you could almost qualify, not officially, but you could say that there's some religious aspects behind Bitcoin itself?
Yes. short answer, yes. And the reason, and I was on another podcast, a Christian Bitcoin podcast, and we talked about this. And the reason I think this is because really Bitcoin is just a software, right? It's just computer software that people are running and using as money. And obviously the characteristics of it make it, you know, the hardest, best money ever invented. But if it's money, who creates a religion around, or who cares so much about money that they would, you know, behave this way? I think the reason it's become religious for some people, and people talk about having like religious experiences, like using religious terms, like I had a revelation about Bitcoin. I got the Bitcoin revelation. They use terms like this. And I think the reason that is because Bitcoin is objectively true, right? It's just truth. I like to refer to it as the truth protocol. It can't lie. It's unable to lie. It's just true. And so because our monetary system has been so fake for so long, and not just the monetary system, but almost everything is just so fake. Mm-hmm. You know, the news is so fake. TV shows are so fake. Reality TV is not even reality. You know, so everything is so fake that when people see this thing that's so purely true, that doesn't care, it's just true, it's like, whoa, this is crazy. They've never experienced such a thing. So it becomes religious because people are hungry for truth. And when they get that Bitcoin revelation, when they see, holy smokes, this is just true, there's no manipulating it, it becomes religious for them. Now, for me as a Christian, when I seen that, it was just like, oh, I already believe in objective truth, so this just lines up with it. You know, I wasn't so much blown away by the Bitcoin protocol as much as I was that, oh, it exists and it lines up with what I already believe. And so now I'm sort of, I don't want to use the term handcuffed, but I'm sort of handcuffed to it. I can't get away from it. It's true. And I guess I'm an evangelist at heart, so I have to evangelize it as well.
Do you ever, I mean, sometimes when I think about my time in the Catholic Church, like I was raised Roman Catholic. And so when I think back to the days when I was attending Mass regularly, one of the things that stands out to me was that was a population that, to put it diplomatically, skewed older, I think. There's a lot more people longer in the tooth. Mm-hmm. These conversations that you're having about time preference, I think, are important. And I think that one of the things I've come to realize and sort of warm up to over the last 5 or 6 years is that many of the things I didn't like about my father's way of thinking, for example, you know, when I was 22 or 23, I really appreciate now as being objectively true. He was objectively correct about many of those things. The older you get, the easier it is to make those realizations. The older you get, though, the harder it is to talk about Bitcoin with somebody. And, you know, when I talk to my parents, for example, about Bitcoin, my father holds a little bit, but it took me a long time to convince him to make that leap. How do you think of making the connection between these sort of what we'll call traditional ways of thinking and Bitcoin? Because those are the people who maybe have the shortest like ideological bridge to cross. And on our show, to be honest with you, Pastor, we talk a lot about how, if you think about wealth distribution in Canada, for example, it's really important that the boomers latch onto this thing at some point, not for my sake, but because bonds, for example, and other fixed income vehicles are not going to do the work for them in their pensions and they're living longer, et cetera, et cetera. So how do you think about making that gap from traditional ways of thinking to this new technology that really does encompass a lot of these things, but is foreign to them otherwise?
Because my context is Christian, I just teach the Bible and hope that they see it. I'm actually doing a seminar soon called "The Christian Case for Bitcoin." It'll be a live thing, but I'll record it and post it online. And my hope in doing that is to expose all Christians of all ages to the biblical case for it. I know it sounds strange. Like, how do you make a Christian case for hard money? Well, because we don't have hard money, so it needs to be made. Well, we do, right? In Bitcoin, we do. But a lot of the stuff in the seminar is just like wouldn't even be a thing if it weren't for fiat money. It wouldn't even be necessary. And the thing is, in the Bible, whenever it talks about money, it's in the context of a hard money standard. Right, there was no fiat money in biblical times. There was no fiat money for Abraham. All he had was gold, silver, and cattle. You know, that's what they used. It was, if you didn't have it, you didn't have it. And so the Bible presupposes a hard money standard, and a lot of us read it presupposing a fiat standard, right? And that's where we run into the issue, is where you're trying to implement biblical principles for money with fiat, and it doesn't work. Saving fiat money is not wise, right? So if you're reading the scripture and it's talking about how saving is wise and deferring consumption is wise in order to have for the future, mm-hmm. And you implement those principles with fiat money, you end up getting screwed and you go, what the heck happened? Well, it had nothing to do with, it wasn't that the Bible was wrong, it's the money you used was wrong. And so helping people to see that and just like, okay, we need to presuppose hard money when we read the scripture, because that's what they had. And so when we're talking about, and you know, I've been to churches and stuff where, like, are you guys familiar with Dave Ramsey?
Yeah, the name rings a bell.
Yeah, he's guy, Len, who does like financial coaching, does a podcast and stuff. He's a big don't carry any debt guy.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He's got the money makeover thing. I remember when I first started going to church, the church had the Dave Ramsey money makeover, and the whole thing was like, cut up your credit cards. If you don't have the cash, don't buy it. Mm-hmm. Save 6 months of expense and this kind of thing. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of wise. But now it's like, no, that's actually kind of stupid, because by the time you save 6 months, it's like 4 months worth, right? So you can never keep up with fiat money. And so helping them to see that, and that's the whole idea of the seminar, is helping them to see that Bitcoin is hard money and so forth. So that's sort of how I like to approach it. And if people want to listen, they want to listen, but eventually it'll become inevitable. So
has there been any talk about actually having some of the reserves from churches convert over to Bitcoin? Because I would imagine they're not putting it into in equity markets and trying to save their money that way. So they probably are holding, you know, not a substantial amount of money, but cash, but almost all of it in cash. So, and having it in that regard, is just going to essentially just melt away given the current environment. So have you heard anybody, any churches actually talking about converting it into Bitcoin, or at least a portion of their cash reserves?
Canadian churches, no. A few American churches, yes. But it's not a very mainstream thing. you know, I've talked to, I'm with the Southern Baptist Convention. Can you guys hear my phone going off? I'm just going to silence that. Hold on a second.
You're a very popular man. I'm getting jealous from this.
That's great. That's more texts than I get.
Yeah.
That's a week's worth for me.
Nobody looks to us to be saved. That's why, Len. People come to me for a good time, not for the opposite. That's the problem.
If people don't even come to me for that. They just leave
me alone. Okay, yeah. So, so my church, we have, you know, Bitcoin. We're stacking. We're dollar cost averaging, teaching people to give in Bitcoin as well.
Oh.
There's another church in my city, which shall remain nameless because it's not official yet. But they're a rather big one. I just got a call from their finance person. They're like, hey, we want to accept Bitcoin. Like, we saw your website. How do we do that? So there's churches that are interested and intrigued and realize, okay, especially with all the COVID stuff and the lockdowns, a lot of these pastors are kind of waking up to the reality that it's not the way it used to be. Mm-hmm. And the government doesn't really care about you. So but I will say this, for the most part, all those messages you heard, by the way, shameless plug.
I love it.
All those messages you heard were, there's another one coming in. All of them are from signal groups of pastors. And it's sort of, I've said too much already, but I've had discussions with many of these guys. And most of them are gold bucks. A lot of them are Peter Schiff fans, believe it or not. And so having that debate with them, and I even made a challenge. So somebody dropped straight up. I'll show you. These folks won't believe it unless I do the proof of work.
Here we go.
Somebody dropped an ounce of gold in the offering plate.
Wow. Yeah.
And I'm like, what do I do with that? And so obviously I'll sell it and buy Bitcoin with it. But before I did that, I was having a discussion with some of these guys and I was like, hey, you guys ever received gold in the offering plate? Like, what did you do with it? And they're like, no, no, no. And I was like, you know, I'll probably sell it and buy Bitcoin. And they were like, oh, Bitcoin sucks or whatever. And I said, I'll tell you what, guys, I'll issue you a challenge. If you love gold so much, buy this off me. Like, your church, buy it off my church. Okay, I'll use the cash you give me to buy Bitcoin. You hold this. In 4 years, we'll see who's ahead. Guess what? Nobody took me up on the challenge.
You should propose that to Peter Schiff. Maybe he'll take you up on that challenge.
You'd have to be crazy. Like, I think about, you know, first of all, I was hoping you were going to pull out an open dime there when you said that someone threw something odd.
No, I wish.
Second, you know, I got to ask, since it sounds like you guys are doing the right things, what was that conversation like? Do you even have to... Like, I don't know much about the finances of like a church, let alone the finances of a church when they're going through the process of, moving cash into Bitcoin as part of the treasury. You know, what was that like? Did you have to really convince anybody? What, you know, send them a podcast or something? Like, what did you do? How did that go?
You know, my team is really cool. And, you know, they knew I was into Bitcoin. The elders at my church were, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, get a ShakePay account, and they did, and they bought, and we got our bonuses and stuff. And so we were already like a lot of, you know, the team was all of the team actually has Bitcoin now. And so when I was like, hey, let's buy some for the church, they were like, yeah, let's do it. So it wasn't really, I know a lot of churches, you know, there'd be like debate and stuff, but as far as my context, it was just like, well, it's a no brainer. Let's just do it. And then, yeah, it was a very simple transition. So I can't really advise other pastors as to how to do this in a wise way, to navigate people who are maybe a little bit, unsure. 'Cause everybody was like, it's a no brainer. Let's do it. Yeah.
Isn't it now much easier to sell, not really sell, but at least, have the conversation about Bitcoin and perhaps even convince them in that very same conversation. When you have companies like KPMG just this week buy Bitcoin and add this to the reserves, it kind of legitimizes Bitcoin as something that could be conceived as a store of value and even a currency in some areas like El Salvador. So when you get more and more news items like this, doesn't it make your job much easier in terms of selling Bitcoin to people to have it, have them adopt it, or at least talk to them about it?
Yeah. Honestly, it was pretty easy, man. I'm not going to lie. I didn't need to do much. I didn't have to do much persuading on this. So I don't know. Other guys have issues, but I didn't.
Here's what I really want to know. Okay, me and Len were talking about this the other day, or maybe it was somebody else I was talking with about this.
You're talking to Bitcoin behind my back? What's going on?
I know, here, unbelievable. Yeah, philandering. So the question I have is how much percentage wise are you guys parking of your treasury in Bitcoin? Can you say? And if you can say, how did you come to that decision? Because I hear a lot of people, gold bugs, equity bugs, everyone from Shift to Dalio to, you know, all these guys saying the most you should be putting into this thing is 1%. Mm-hmm. And then you got other people who, you know, like Foss or Booth or Lawrence Lepard who are saying, you know, 10, 20% is the number, if not more. And so I'm always curious as to how, since you're the first person we've had on the show with like an active treasury that you can steer, what was the percentage and how'd you decide what to park?
So we took all of our long-term savings and just bought Bitcoin with it, because what's the point of keeping it like in cash if we're not going to use it for like a couple years, you know? So I mean, that was 100% of that funding. All our long-term missions, stuff is just, it's all in Bitcoin. Any project we're doing will be in Bitcoin. Building projects and so forth. And as far as like dollar cost averaging, I would say we're not a big church by any means, but it, you know, percentage wise, I'd say probably monthly we're anywhere between like 20 to 30%.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty
high. Significant. Yeah.
That's high. Yeah.
And then the rest is just covering expenses. Yeah. And I even thought about, well, how can I wonder if I could pay myself in Bitcoin. I haven't actually looked into how to do that, but I'm sure it's not that difficult.
Have you even thought about even running a Lightning node at this point? I mean, I know this might be a little bit far in advance, but considering the fact that if you're going to be taking donations and doing it on chain, it may seem like it makes sense right now, but as you know, transaction fees are low, but over time, this could go up and it could eat away at what you're going to be receiving through donations. And Lightning seems to be a very simple solution to getting around this, but I'm not sure if this is going to add another layer of complexity to the whole process. Have you had any discussions about Lightning, or have you thought about it? Do you even know about it? I'm just curious.
We have a Lightning node.
Really?
Yeah. The only issue we're facing is like our liquidity is low. We need more liquidity, but like I have it running here like a little Raspberry Pi.
Two of the three people on this stream are running Lightning nodes, so I'm not going to point to the third person who may not, but we should try to convince that person. Perhaps he should be running a Lightning node. But sorry,
yeah,
to interrupt.
Maybe. Yeah. Who is that guy anyway? Yeah.
we don't have it. Like if you go to our website on the giving page, the Lightning is not an option. On the BTC Pay server we have set up, but like if you're in the church and you want to give to Lightning, you know, I would send them an invoice for whatever they want to give, and we you know, people have given through Lightning. Yeah.
Joey, that is so dope.
Okay, enough with the softballs. Let me ask you at least like a middling question as far as difficulty. Okay, so from an outsider's point of view, one of the biggest issues that organized religion seems to have to me is transparency. You know, over the years, seen a number of scandals, some financial, some of other nature. Bitcoin sort of allows you as the head of the church to be more transparent about the finances of the institution. Do you guys use it that way? Is that something that you've considered doing? Or do you like share the wallet address with people? Like, this is the wallet we use. You can go on chain, verify what's there, what's not, where we're spending, where we're saving. It seems to me that'd be a good thing to do if you could do it. Are you guys on something like that?
Well, people are free to check it out themselves. Our finances are pretty transparent to begin with. We, you know, we have, it's all public. You know, if people want to see the balance sheet. You know, they can look at that. So transparency hasn't really been an issue for us, just because we are pretty transparent, and everybody knows where my salary. Everybody knows the salaries of our staff. They're determined with consensus of leadership. So yeah, it hasn't, that's not really an issue for us. Yeah, Bitcoin. Go ahead.
I was like, where are you going to go from here? Like, what are you going to be putting in place that's going to advance the Bitcoin cause? So I'm curious. You've gone pretty far as it is, but I'm sure you must have some ideas that you plan on.
Because the dream, really, like, you know, I think about like this show, for example, Pastor. And one of the things me and Len wanted to do was like tell people about Bitcoin, talk about it. Yeah, retire. But like, you know, the struggle for podcasters, like Twitter profiles, doesn't matter. Whatever the medium, YouTube pages. The struggle really is getting the audience. And so you already made that hurdle a non-issue, okay? You got the audience. So what do you do with it now to move the envelope forward with the Bitcoin thing?
I have two major missions. Well, really it's one, but two focuses where I'm determining to put my time and effort into. Number one is, of course, just leading the church and the mission of Christ to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things which Jesus has commanded. And the second is to help Christians, to orange pill Christians and orange pill the church, because, you know, when I first got into Bitcoin, I was like, man, look at all these people stacking crazy amounts, like Michael Saylor and stuff. And he's like, oh, he's got so much Bitcoin and all the money's in Bitcoin. I'm like, man, the church is like getting left behind. We don't want all the heathen to have it all. You know, there's only 21 million. I'm like, so why can't the church use this to spread the good news of Christ? Like, I'm really passionate about, you know, reaching folks with the gospel, but then reaching Christians with the potential that Bitcoin has to, because funding is always an issue for mission work, and Bitcoin can really take the complexity out of it. That's the thing. So I'm working to try to, and it's happening. I got a pastor in my own city who wants to accept Bitcoin now. He's one that got me a $30 reward on ShakePay too. So, you know, like I just want Christians to start accumulating Bitcoin. There's only 21 million. And so we got to start now, guys. So there's some urgency there. I want to write a book too. I don't know. It's just, there's so much to do, man. There's just so much to do and so little time to do it.
I just have a comment to make. What you're doing here, you're kind of swimming against the current, because you're in an environment that there's very conservative values here and so forth. And you know, putting any sort of money into something which might seem to be risky, It's going to be hard to sell this message to people that don't want to risk the hard-earned money that they've accumulated up to this point. So, and there's also the other narrative too. Bitcoin, on its early days, there's always people were thinking that it was associated with dirty money, or, you know, is accumulating, you know, dealing with drugs and whatnot. So in this regard, you're just fighting an uphill battle. And I just want to give you, kudos to that, because it's got to be hard to do what you're doing.
Well, you know, I think give to Satoshi what is Satoshi's, man. Like, and that's fiat, so Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. Well, you know, I think if you were around today, it would give unto Satoshi what is, you know, give the garbage fiat. It's immoral. It's not good. It's not good for society. It's not, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, right? That's what Jesus said. He said the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. After understanding what Bitcoin is and what fiat is, more importantly, what fiat is, I always knew fiat was jacked up. I always used to tell people before I became a Bitcoiner, I go, you know, the dollar is backed by bullets, right? That's what it's backed by. And that's not good. But then when Bitcoin came around and I realized that it was the more moral option, now, and like I said, now it's become a moral imperative. And so that's the angle I take with Christians. Forget about the volatility. Forget about the so-called risk. This is a moral imperative. We need to, as Christians, we need to love our neighbors by being Bitcoiners. And I know that sounds weird. It's going to sound weird to some. But if you understand truly how messed up the fiat monetary system is, you know, I feel bad for having a mortgage. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm contributing to this nonsense. But, you know, whatever. So, yeah, it is a sort of uphill swim, but at the same time, it's not, because this is the right thing to do. And the right thing to do is always, and I think Jordan Peterson said something like, whenever you, the right thing to do, the outcome is always, what did he say? Something about when you do the right thing, the outcome is always the best, or something like that. Anyways, that whole principle.
Yeah, that's, I think that is a Peterson special there. The other question I have on sort of fiat and the struggles of fiat causes, one of the things we talk about on our show pretty often is the broader economic picture being sort of bleak for young families and young people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, and you didn't say it explicitly, but, you know, what some people say, when there's a bear in the stock market, there's a bull in the God market. And it seems to me that this is at least part of the reason why Bitcoiners are drawn to religion, specifically Christian religions, when it comes to Bitcoin and community and whatnot. The thing that I'm wondering is, what are you seeing in your congregation, in the younger members, that gives you hope that they're going to be okay, even in the face of sort of these destructive forces? And there's no doubt, whether you're religious or not, you're seeing a lot of destructive forces, a lot of headwinds for these folks. Unfortunately, stuff is, you know, obvious as home prices, but also education and you know, the sort of influences of vices and the availability of these vices. What are you seeing that gives you hope for these guys? Because we talk a lot about the reasons you should be upset about the current system, but I'm wondering, from your point of view, what's the bull case for the young generation?
I've always had an optimistic outlook for the future, because I believe the Bible, when it says that the kingdom of God is going to spread across the land, and that it's going to continue to spread until Jesus returns. So although you have ebbs and flows in history, you know, God always wins. And so whenever, especially now, it's messed up. It doesn't look like very hopeful for the future, but, you know, historically God turns stuff on a dime. Yeah, I'm from Romania, and you know, we had communism for a while, but it turned on a dime, man, just like that. One day you have oppression, the next day dictators getting mowed down with machine guns. How did that happen? It turns on a dime. It's how it's always happens historically. So right, so with young people, they can't save fast enough to buy a house. They're deferring having children because they're anxious about finances, how they're going to afford it, and things like this. When I discovered Bitcoin, I initially had this knee-jerk reaction. Like, I think, now I'm not a prophet, but it looks like this is a judgment from God. Like, Bitcoin is a judgment from God on the globalist central bankers. I really believe that. I don't know who Satoshi is. I don't think he's some sort of, I think he just came up with this thing and tried it, and it just worked. But regardless of who he is, God used him, sort of like he used Cyrus to free the Israelites. He's using him to judge the wicked and to vindicate a righteousness. So that's how I view it. And that's what gives me hope for the future, is that God is judging the wicked. And nobody, this is how it happens. Nobody knows, man. God always uses the low things, the things you don't expect, the things that you would mock and scoff at, you know, like, imagine telling someone 5 years ago, Bitcoin is going to be the vehicle through which the world is going to be liberated from, you know, monetary debasement, and people would laugh at you.
Yeah.
But it's happening, and it's going to happen. And I think it's a judgment from God on the wicked, and it's a blessing from God on those who will see it and take advantage of it.
That's what
gives me hope. That's what gives me hope.
Some things that deserve to be laughed at, though. Like, let's look at the metaverse, for instance. That's something that's, you know, you could, and I want to hear your thoughts on that. No, I think it's an absolute joke. But yeah, you've basically opened up my eyes to a certain thing. I've never associated religion and Christianity to any way, shape, or form to Bitcoin. Like, it's certainly a different way of looking at it. I always question the fact that Bitcoin, at least the people that follow it, it's almost like a religion in itself. But the discussion with you, so it kind of opened my eyes, and I'm looking at it a different point of view. So it's, to me, this has been very enlightening. I don't know, I'm not sure if you want to add anything to that, Joey.
I would just say that, you know, I'm curious, because you have more skin in the game than most, because it seems to me that you're in on Bitcoin philosophically in a way that many people are not. And you're also in on Bitcoin as far as the treasury of your church and the people that trust you with their donations, you know, weekly or monthly, whatever the case is. So I think the last question I have for you then, Pastor, is where do you see this thing going in the short to medium term? And maybe give me, the 10,000 foot view as to what you see as far as Bitcoin. If you want to talk about price, you can. If you want to talk about, key events, you can. Or if you want to talk about the community, you can. I'm just curious to hear what you think is coming next.
Oh my, I don't know. Honestly, price wise, who knows, man? I don't try to trade or figure this thing out. I tried to trade back in the day, and I just, it's not for me. I lost money. So price wise, I don't really care. Price wise, I'm just gonna keep dollar cost averaging, and that's just the plan for the future. As far as a 10,000 foot view, I want to see in the next 5 to 10 years, several large missions organizations using Bitcoin to plant churches and fund ministry, especially in restricted areas. This is where Bitcoin has an advantage over fiat money. We have a missionary in Bangladesh, and giving money to initiatives there, like he wants to build a thing there where people can, because in Bangladesh, like if you become a Christian from like a Muslim family, a lot of times you just get kicked out, right? You can't, nobody will hire you. It's just, it's a hard life. So he wants to build a sort of a place where people can come and process that and be sent out again. But that's going to cost money. And a lot of times what happens is when you give, there's so many intermediaries. By the time the money gets to Bangladesh, the fees have eaten a lot of it up. And as I'm talking to this guy, I'm like, dude, like I could just set, you could just have a wallet and the church could just send you Bitcoin and the fees would be so low and it's peer-to-peer, boom, boom, you get it. And then you can use it for whatever you need to use it for. So I'd like to see it a lot more of that happening. I think a lot of the churches just don't know you can do that. A lot of the pastors I talk to, they're like, well, how can we do that? Is that legal? I'm like, I don't know if it's legal, but I'm doing it. my policy on stuff like this is, just do it and then ask for forgiveness later if it's wrong. I don't know about that, but who cares? Who cares? We're in this to help folks to know Christ, to have peace and hope, and Bitcoin is the best vehicle to fund that ministry. So I'm going to use it. I'm going to have the RCMP on my door. You better censor it. But I'm gonna use it, right? Even if we have to you know, acts are charitable status, you know, acts it, who cares? But this is the future, and this is what I want to see happen. 5 to 10 years, I want to see a lot of churches using Bitcoin for this purpose. And, you know, people, you know, like you mentioned about, oh, well, Bitcoin's been used for drugs. And it's like, look, I get a lot of that from a lot of Christians. They're like, man, I'm unsure about this. Like, I heard it's like dark web money or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It doesn't matter what form the money takes. Mm-hmm. People are going to do evil things with it. So if you're really concerned about Bitcoin being used for nefarious purposes, why aren't you concerned about the dollar being used for nefarious purposes? I never hear anybody saying, oh man, I don't know if I want to get paid in dollars, you know, because I heard that some people launder money with it. And some people, I heard sex trafficking is there's a lot of dollars involved. So I don't want to really get involved with that. Nobody says that.
So why I only get paid in gold and Bitcoin.
Yeah. So you got to call people out on that kind of stuff, right? Because they're just not thinking through, I think, what they're actually saying.
I just got one follow-up question. What's the biggest barrier then for having your colleagues start adopting it? Is it a lack of knowledge? Is it fear of the unknown? Is it technological hurdles? Like, what would be the biggest hurdle, would you say, for this being adopted by some of your colleagues?
It's a lack of knowledge. Yeah, it's a lack of knowledge. You know, there's a Bible verse that says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. it's definitely a lack of knowledge. It's a lot of arguments that are being parroted from, you know, it's a lot of FUD. It's a lot of FUD.
Yeah.
There's lots of FUD in the Christian circles. Whether it's the, you know, and then you get the wacky stuff about, oh, Bitcoin is a Chinese government psyop, and don't you know the U.S. government created Bitcoin? And Satoshi Nakamoto is like, you know, George Bush Jr. or whatever, and then that stuff's just like, or it's the mark of the beast, you know, because it's cryptography. You know what's crazy? I'll leave you guys with this. Revelation chapter, I think it's 13, that talks about 666. That's the original cryptography. John, when he wrote that, was trying to conceal the name of the beast. And he did it with using numbers. He said, you know, it's the number of a man, it's the number of his name, and the number is 666. And Nero spells, or 666, when it's, is it called the trans, is it called transliteration or numerology or whatever, spells Nero. 666 spells Nero. And so the Christians who were reading Revelation in the first century would have seen 666 and immediately, oh, decrypted it, because they had the private key, right? They would have decrypted it. Oh, that's Nero. Whereas a Roman would read that and go, what the heck is this? They didn't have the private key of the Hebrew scriptures. So that's the original cryptography. And so for people to say Bitcoin is the mark of the beast, it's like, it's actually kind of the opposite of the mark of the beast.
I like that. That's the original private key, Len. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
That's the first I've heard. The first analogy I've heard of this nature. I like that. Okay, so, Pastor, usually at the end of the segment, I ask like if you can beat somebody in a foot race, but I don't know who your conciliaries are at the church. Do you have a maybe like a male counterpart over there that you can you're looking to like establish bragging rights over as far as foot speed and athletic prowess, or no?
I mean, I already have athletic prowess over them all, so I'd smoke them all, man.
There you go. That's the answer. And so hopefully you play this for your parishioners. They're like, oh, my God. Like, what?
Is this literally like a foot race you're talking about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is no there's no secondary meaning here. We ask everybody to get into the show if they could beat somebody in a race. But I don't know who to put you up against.
You know, I'm not that fast, to be honest. I'm more of a weightlifter. So I could probably outlift everyone in my church. Actually, no, I can't. There's one guy who could outlift me. There is one.
That's pretty good.
But he's also slow.
Yeah, but I mean, the weightlifting, listen, if there's one thing I've learned in the last 2 or 3 years is that you're going to trade power for speed at some point, whether you want to do it or not.
Right, right.
And if you choose to do it early, you're going to see benefits on that side of the wheel for sure. So good for you. It doesn't look like you have any problems getting two wheels up on the bench press there. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, yeah. I just did bench today, actually.
Yeah? What'd you hit? What was the PR?
Oh, I didn't go heavy today. I had COVID in December. And I'm fully recovered, but ever since I've had it, my like elbows have been like kind of creaky, really weird. So I haven't really been going too heavy until that elbow soreness is gone. So it's getting better, but it's just a weird after residual effect.
That's what they say when they say long vid. That's elbow soreness on the list.
You're stuck doing squats and deadlifts. You can't do anything.
Body weight squats.
Yeah.
Pastor, you've been a great interview. I really enjoyed our discussion. Like Len said, enlightening in more ways than one. Do you want to tell us where we can find you, where people can hear more of you, your church, the swag you got on there, which I will definitely be looking at following this interview. Where can they find all that stuff?
Yeah. So you could go to ChristianBitcoinGuide.com. That's a website I'm working on. It's not as robust as I'd like it to be. It's not as updated as I'd like it to be, but I'm working. It's going to be slow and steady for a bit, but it's going to constantly have new, and there's all types of stuff I'm working on. So just be patient, but you can find me on that website. We've got some gear on there if you'd like. And then of course on Twitter at Pastor Coin. You can find me there, and in the church is lifegiverchurch.net. If you want to go and give some Bitcoin, please feel free to do that, and that'll go straight to our wallet. There's no, you know, intermediaries. We're doing this legit 100%. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Joey, just that's a heads sick. Up. I took a look at the website. You could get the Hope Huddle in a hoodie. It's in a t-shirt. So you have lots of different options. You
can
get
ready.
A toque. You could get a beanie, a hat. A lot of different options that are available. So
funny, cool. we support the cause where we can, Pastor. So yeah, count on that for me. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I really, the hat, it's a third party manufacturer. I wish, you know, I want to accept Bitcoin payments, but they don't. So right now, unfortunately, it's just fiat. I am trying to find out a way if there's a way I can. I'm still working on it. I'm not giving up on that because I'd rather have Bitcoin. But all the purchases, I'm going to straight up just buy Bitcoin with it anyways. But the hats come out really nice. I mean, the quality is super good. I was really surprised how good the hats were. The printing on the sweater is okay. It's not the best, but, you know, it'll work. But the hats are unbelievable. I can't believe how well they came out.
The hat does look good. If you're not watching and you're listening, go definitely go check out the video and see the hat. Yeah. That's it. Pastor Coin, thank you for your time, my friend. Appreciate that.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.